Sometimes it's scary as teachers to let go of control a little bit and let the kids take the lead, but their curiosity is a huge strength.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mentioned something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by Intel Skills for Innovation, who are reimagining education with technology at its core. For educators and administrators looking to inspire and empower, Intel SFI offers cutting-edge and free resources to revolutionize learning experiences and prepare students for the fourth industrial revolution. They offer a suite of resources tailored to build future-ready skills and prepare students for a rapidly evolving world, including their specially curated starter packs and comprehensive professional development programs. Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com today to learn more. That's skillsforinnovation.intel.com. This week's episode is titled Leaning into the Strengths of Generation Alpha with Jessica Cato. Jessica is a literacy resource teacher in Hawaii, and I first came across her work on EdSearch and an article she wrote titled What Educators Need to Know About Generation Alpha. So I reached out to Jessica, asked her to join today, and we chat about Gen Alpha, who they are, what their strengths are, and strategies to support them both inside and outside the classroom. Let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you today, Jessica, about Generation Alpha. But before we get into all of that, can you tell listeners a bit about your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Sure. So I'm a resource teacher for what they call complex areas here in Hawaii. So I support 18 K-12 schools, and really I support the teachers. So my days can range from, I have cohorts that we're studying different things, a literacy cohort, a PBL cohort, a teacher leadership cohort. I had a department head call me yesterday from a middle school to talk about AI and the implications in the classroom. I have teachers ask me for resources. So really, I just support teachers in whatever they need. And I also teach online for Hawaii Online Courses, which is a supplemental online program for public school students. So I teach AP Lit and Lang as well.
So you're hearing from lots of teachers then, right, across the state, across different spaces. And, you know, I'm excited to dive into this term, right? Dive into this idea of Generation Alpha and all the things you are learning and hearing and seeing in your various roles. And yeah, that's our big word for today, Generation Alpha. So let's define that for listeners. What are their birth years, their defining traits? How are they different than previous generations that have come through classrooms?
Yeah, sure. So Generation Alpha was a relatively new term to me as well. I was working with some middle school teachers. I work with a lot of middle school teachers, and they were so frustrated one day. And I was out walking after spending some time with them, and I heard it on a podcast. And I just was so interested because my own children are of that generation. So I started learning all about it. They were born from 2010 to 2025-ish. So they're still being born now. And this is actually the first generation fully born into the millennium. So all of them were born in the millennium, and they were born into iPads, Instagram, cell phones. They really understand connectivity in on a really deep, almost cellular level that no other generation fully understands. I remember when my own kids were babies going on walks and seeing, you know, 6 months old with the iPads.
Yeah.
So they will have access to more information than any other generation. They really understand how globally connected we are, not just through tech, but also through COVID. I mean, these are the kids who grew up with COVID and who really understand how, you know, a small virus can take over the world and how things can spread. A lot of them, you know, interact with family members and friends online on FaceTime, whether through COVID or just, you know, regularly. They make friends on Roblox and all different sites that they might never meet in real life. So they really, you know, all generations are different, but this generation and their level of tech native, so to speak, is really, really unique.
And that, you know, those ideas, right, those experiences that those students have had, or now students for some of them, right, not all of them quite yet in classrooms, right, is really important to take into consideration as we're planning, as we're making changes to things that we might have done for a long time, even if the content hasn't quite shifted, the way that we might approach those learning experiences with students, right, absolutely, right, has shifted and changed. So what are some of the unique strengths you see within Generation Alpha as learners?
Sure. So I was really excited to think about their strengths, because I think so often we look at the deficits of all this tech, and these kids are extremely curious and they have access to so much information, which can make it hard to engage them, right? Because they think they know it all. Mm-hmm. But we can build off that curiosity, right? We can create more choice in the classroom. We can, you know, sometimes it's scary as teachers to let go of control a little bit and let the kids take the lead. But their curiosity is a huge strength. They're also really empathetic because they're seeing so much that's beyond their neighborhood, right? Which, of course, there's, you know, things to be concerned about with that. But they understand, you know, big problems that I didn't think about when I was a child. I mean, they're seeing things online that's helping them really understand people who are different than them and want to help, right? They also see influencers that are their age all the time. So they truly believe they have the power, and they're right. I mean, they do have the power to influence others. So they really feel empowered. And I think that's something that we can build off of as we're working with them. And obviously they're super tech savvy. So we should lean into that instead of, you know, sometimes that can be scary if we feel like our students are more tech savvy than us. There's ways to lean into that and really, really build upon that as well.
Yeah. And especially taking on that role as a co-learner, right, alongside students who might have different experiences with technology, who might have different use cases that we all have not thought of or considered, right, even the classroom applications for that. So are there any particular types of ed tech, of education technology, that seem to resonate strongly with this Gen Alpha group?
Anything that they're creating content, I have found, has really, really resonated with them. You know, Flip, formerly known as Flipgrid, is a super common one. It's simple, but it works. They would rather do that than produce content in a lot of other ways. The kids really like any sort of gamified tech. And I think that just speaks to the gamified world that many of them live in, right? And it can be simple. I mean, even Class Dojo feels like a game to a first grader. They can build the avatar and so on and so forth. They like Kahoot, iCivics, Prodigy with math is very popular with the elementary school kids. And it's the same thing. It's because they're able to create online worlds. They're able to express themselves in a different way. And they're really just into the game aspect of things. The students also respond really well to self-paced learning. And I think that's because they're so used to it. They're so used to being able to move as slowly, but for many of them as quickly as they want through things online. So Edpuzzle, Nearpod, anything where they can move at their own pace, they can make some choices as they go. But with these kids, it really is important to keep it varied. I know as educators, sometimes we find something that works really well. Kahoot is a big one that people really like, and then they're doing Kahoot, you know, every day. And, you know, the kids, their attention span is short and they're used to the new and interesting things. So I think we just need to keep up with the tech. But the important thing with the tech as educators is that we don't just put them on the computer and leave them alone, is that create opportunities for them to collaborate through the tech, that we create opportunities for us to still be guiding them with the tech. And that we're really, sometimes I think a lot of our computer programs make them passive consumers of whatever's happening. And I think what's most engaging, and the students get bored with that really fast, but I think what's most engaging is when they're actually creating and, you know, building things within the tech world.
Yeah, just that empowering students as content creators with some of those popular tools, right, that make it easy for them to share their learning is so important. And I do love, too, how you brought it back to some of those self-paced options that might have been more popular for a teacher to pick and choose from during a distance learning initiative. But I know I've spent some time even on the podcast this year talking about blended learning strategies, and some of that might include, right, some self-paced pieces like Edpuzzle or Nearpod, which just came up this week when I was doing an in-person workshop with a group on formative assessment. So, you know, these are things that, for as much as they may be part of our knowledge base of what's possible, they might not be front and center like they were a few years ago, but there's so many benefits, like you said, for a student who's ready to keep moving through or need that extra moment to go through and review something at their own pace. So, what are some of the shifts in a classroom that an educator can implement to better meet the needs of Gen Alpha students?
Sure. So I think that the biggest one is just, and I mean, this is something that's been around for a while, but more choice. These kids' choice in how they get the information, whether they want to listen to a podcast or watch a video or sit with the teacher or read something. I just think providing these kids in choice in how they engage is really important. I also think varied ways to show their learning, having students build things online that will help create more of an academic presence online, I think is really important. So having kids blog, having kids build out websites, I've seen some teachers do really amazing things with social media. Of course, make sure you get your administrator's approval and all the appropriate data sharing agreements. But these kinds of things not only help students create a positive online presence, but it also gives them a real audience. And that's what these kids crave. I mean, they're no longer as interested. I mean, I don't know if they ever were, but they're no longer as interested in simply having the teacher be the audience, because they see kids their age, all ages, online with wide audiences. So if we can take that and channel it towards whatever our content is, the kids are going to be way more engaged. It's also really important, just because these kids are digital natives, they still need a lot of digital literacy and media literacy, and to understand, to be critical of what they're consuming and really look at, you know, the news and look for bias, but also to look at, you know, commercials and advertisements and how those have quite a bit, and thinking about algorithms and why they're getting certain things in their feed. And also just, it's an important lesson for kids to learn that things that are on social media are not always exactly real life, right? So even though these kids are very comfortable in that world, the critical thinking skills are still very necessary. So as teachers, the more we can lean into that with our content, just the more we're going to prepare them moving forward.
Such an important point, right? That a student might know exactly what button to press when you hand them a device they've never seen before. But it doesn't mean that they have that full foundation, right, of information literacy, of understanding how to be critical thinkers in different spaces. So really appreciate that you include that, right, in this conversation on Gen Alpha, because it's easy to, for someone especially outside of education, I think, to make assumptions, right, on a student's understanding of how to work within a digital space. If you're in a classroom, you've seen like, whoa, right, wait a minute, right? You've had those kind of conversations at different levels. But it is such an important component when talking about this. And, you know, another important component is social and emotional learning, which is just as important as ever. Maybe we're talking about it a bit more, but it's just as important as it ever has been. So how can technology tools be used to support these foundational skills for Generation Alpha?
Sure. I think these kids are struggling with confidence. More than ever, I think we all know that mental health is a major concern. Mm-hmm. So as we're using these technology skills, just having the mindfulness of building confidence while they're using them, right? So again, not just leaving the kid on the computer by themselves, but the teacher is very, very important, right? So working alongside the student, really thinking about talking with them about the choices they're making and the ways they're going, and also creating collaborative opportunities. And that can be done, you know, I think tech has created space for kids to collaborate, you know, across the globe, really. You know what I mean? You can collaborate in so many more interesting ways now. Some of my online students are on different islands, right? In Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And are collaborating on videos and slides and things like that. And so using the tech to help students connect with other students who they might not connect with before and collaborate that way. But I think I have been really following this group Rocks, Ruling Our Experiences, who's been putting out some amazing data just about the impact of social media, specifically on girls and on their confidence, mm-hmm. and how it's really hurting them in a lot of ways. So I think as we help students build different avenues for social media and build websites and build online presences that really lean into their strengths and their confidence and their academic and so much more than appearance, I think in turn that will help them see themselves as so much more than just, you know, a picture of a cute outfit or, you know, whatever. So I just think it's being intentional about how we use the technology. It does not replace the teacher at all. I think we are needed as guides more than ever. Mm-hmm. And it seems counterintuitive because these kids know so much about the tech. You might think, oh, they don't need me anymore. It's the opposite. We really need to be alongside them as they navigate this path and just make sure that their well-being is most important.
And as we think about supporting them, right, are there concerns about over-reliance on technology for Generation Alpha? How do we work to create balanced digital citizens?
Yeah. I mean, like I've been saying all along, I think shifting from the consumers to the creators of content is huge, because it's really engaging so much more than just like passively watching what's happening. I also think the critical lens in which they look at content is very important. Stanford has some great resources in their civic online reasoning materials. And then thinking about being a digital citizen, and part of being a digital citizen is knowing when to put the technology down. I do think over-reliance is definitely a concern. And I think it's because sometimes as adults, we don't understand, you know, parents and teachers, but we don't understand the digital world that they're engaging in, and it, you know, it's easier sometimes to just let them go. Yeah. But I think helping kids think about how they're feeling when they're online and think about how they can self-assess, you know, their mood, their physical feelings, things like that. We can really assist them in knowing, you know, when it might be time to put the iPad down and go outside and get some fresh air. But all that needs to be taught. I mean, some of us scroll on our phone way too long, right? So really thinking about how we can teach kids to cue into their own body and their own mood and know how to self-regulate, I think is really important now and will continue to be important moving forward.
Well, this is just such a helpful conversation for educators who are looking to unpack this term, who want to support the students of not just the future, but the students of now, all right, that are in their classroom. So Jessica, thank you so much for your time today. But before we officially finish up, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Sure. So all the links will be in the bio, the link to my article on Generation Alpha. The easiest way to find me is really on Instagram. So it's @nurtured_thinking, NURTURED_thinking. And once you go there, the link in the bio has all my work and you can contact me through there. That's probably the simplest way. Thank you so much, okay. Monica.
This was great. Yeah. No, so much fun to chat with you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
It was so much fun chatting with Jessica today, and I'll link out to her original EdSurge article and plenty of ways to connect with her in the show notes for this episode. Remember, you can always find the show notes, a quick link to them, by looking at the summary or the description for the episode on your podcast player. It kind of looks like a blog post link. It'll have the date of the new episode in the URL, the number in the URL, in this case 255, and then you can click on it and it'll take you straight to the corresponding blog post, which also has a podcast player or a quick way to share this episode. So let's make this EdTech easy with a few key points from today's episode. Gen Alpha students are curious, empathetic, and believe in their power to influence. They want to create content and like working at their own pace. Give Gen Alpha students plenty of choice and help them build digital literacy skills. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from today's episode, including all of the ways to connect with Jessica, by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 255. A big thank you to today's sponsor, Intel Skills for Innovation. Ready to transform the educational experience with Intel Skills for Innovation? Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com today to step into a world of possibilities. Sign up now using the free code MONICA to unlock exclusive access to their comprehensive resources. You'll get access to over 70 lesson packages and more than 120 hours of professional development. Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com and use the code MONICA for free access to a wealth of resources. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too, and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.